Oh, it's so good to be together. And I've enjoyed having these young brothers helping us get the meeting started. You know, I'd like to say something about last night's meeting a little bit more. You know, last night, actually, if you look on the cover of your booklet, it says Seeds of the Gospel right there. So you could say that the general subject of our whole time together is seeds of the gospel, or another way of saying it is gospel seeds, and that we are little containers of life. Well, you know, I was wondering why did our brother use this expression when he was speaking about junior hires, high schoolers, and college students being gospel seeds or seeds of the gospel. So I looked it up. I looked up other times when the brothers spoke about gospel seeds, and I found out something. I think it's interesting. Gospel seeds is the expression that they used when they would go out and pass out tracts. Have you ever passed out tracts before? Who's done that? You give somebody a tract. Well, you know, that tract has something written on it, and like a prayer. And that is a gospel seed. And we're like sowing seeds. So it's something that somebody could read and learn something to receive the Lord. Another time when they were talking about gospel seeds or seeds of the gospel, they were talking about when they would go to a city and they would just go out to meet people and talk to them about the Lord, and that they sowed a lot of gospel seeds. To me, I find that that's interesting. That means when we go out, or when we're talking to our friends, we're sowing gospel seeds into them. But what I find the most interesting is when Brother Lee said that our young people are gospel seeds. I can understand if you're giving a message or you're passing out a tract, that's a gospel seed. But what does it mean when a person is a gospel seed? That means that people can read you and learn something about God by reading you or by knowing you. You know, the Apostle Paul said this, that you are our epistles, written, known and read by all men, that their love for the Lord, their enjoyment of the Lord, became visible so that others could see it, read it, and be affected by that. Isn't that good? So we are, not only do we enjoy the Lord and read the Word and pray and meet together, but when we go out and we go to school, we become like a living gospel tract. We're like a little piece of paper with something written on it that tells people that they need the Lord Jesus. I think that's precious. That's really wonderful. All these gospel tracts. And you take up all the kids growing up in the church life all over the world. There's thousands and thousands of them. And then they get scattered and sown into all the schools. Then that floods the schools with gospel seeds. Okay? Well, this morning, for our fellowship, we come to I think it might be the most crucial two sessions of this whole weekend. Last night, we got to see something about our influence on the world around us, and that as believers, we affect the world. Even we have the ability to keep the world from being corrupted. Last night, after the meeting, I was thinking, you know, in the last few years, we've seen the world really go down in its corruption. So many evil things have come in. And you have to realize the reason why the corruption could come in to the world, to the schools, is because the Christians, the believers, did not salt it. We just stopped doing our function. And we became like tasteless salt. In fact, the sad thing is that most of the Christians just became like the worldly people. And so we lost our salting function. So the reason for this weekend is to encourage us and strengthen us to keep our salting function. And that we're here together like a city situated on a hill to shine. Huh? Okay, so let's turn in our booklet to page number 9. And let's read this title all together. This is a long title. Let's read it, okay? Cultivating a personal this morning we have really it's a meeting about two things. It's about calling on the Lord, and it's about prayer reading the Word. But really what it's about is you yourself touching the Lord and experiencing the Lord yourself. Now I know most of you, if not all of you, have Christian parents. And most of you grew up in the church. And so calling on the name of the Lord may be common to us. We've heard about it, we've done it, we've practiced it. And it may be like a formality to us. In other words, it's not that sweet, not that precious. And so we're concerned about that, that you would learn how to call on the Lord for yourself. So that even if no one else ever called on the Lord again around you, you would still call on the name of the Lord. And you wouldn't need somebody to say, you need to call on the Lord. You would just call on the Lord because you love Him. You want to call on Him. And so the vital thing this morning is that each one of us, every one of the junior hires, could touch the Lord themselves by calling on His name. The other thing is prayer reading. Now, some of you may think you know what prayer reading is, and I'm concerned about what you may think that prayer reading is. Sometimes in the church life, sometimes in the young people's meetings, we'll say, okay, let's pray read this verse, and we go through a kind of routine in our prayer reading, but it's not that personal. It's not that sweet. And so this morning, we're going to have a workshop, all right? We're going to have some practice and some exercises to give every one of you an opportunity to practice these things for yourself, okay? So let's read Roman numeral 1 together, and then we'll go from there, okay? Roman 1 together. After you have received Christ as your life,
you must have a very personal and affectionate seeking after Christ.
And let's read this verse, Song of Songs, chapter 1, verses 2 through 5 together. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Therefore, the virgins love you. Draw me, we will run after you.
Let him kiss me. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth.
How sweet is that? How personal is that? To kiss somebody on the cheek, you know, maybe formal. You see people do, you know, like that, you know. It's not that sweet. Sometimes you can even do that formally, you know, somebody you don't even like. Or if it's a little baby or a child, you see the mothers, you know, smacking the kid on the head all the time. The kid's just, you know, and the mother is just you know, kissing the head of this little baby. You know, little babies' heads are really cool. You just want to kiss them. They smell good and they are really sweet. Sometimes, if the sisters have too much lipstick on, then their poor little baby's head has all these red marks on their head. You do that for a child, you know, because you love the child and you want to cherish the child. But that kiss, the kiss of the mouth, to kiss someone on the lips, is a very sweet, very personal, very intimate kind of contact. This is what the lover of Christ said, "Let him kiss me." He was saying, or she was saying, "I need a kiss. I need a kiss not on my head, not on my cheek. I don't even need a kiss on my nose. I want him to kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." How precious is that? You know, American weddings, it's very customary. I've done many of these things, and you say, let me be the first ones to introduce to you so-and-so, husband and wife, you know, by the authority vested in me by the state of California, I now pronounce you man and wife, you know, all that. And then you say, you may kiss the bride. Well, see, at that, everyone waits for that moment. I don't know what it is, but I think especially the sisters like to see the kiss. Because that kiss is intimate, it's personal, it's sweet. And this verse tells us that this is the kind of relationship that we need to have with our Lord and that He so desires to have with us. He doesn't want a formal relationship, shaking hands like this with the brothers. You go, "Hi, brother." Yeah, and then sometimes you really like him, you kiss his hand, huh? You know, or you know, like this. Kiss my hand. She says, no, right there. Kiss me with your mouth, because that is so personal, so intimate, so private. And so, This little picture indicates that this is the kind of relationship that gospel seeds have with their Lord. You know, many of us, because we grew up in Christian families, our relationship with the Lord is like it's through our parents. It's like we don't have a firsthand relationship with Him. It's our parents love the Lord, therefore we love the Lord. And so everything is like second generation to us. Did you think like that? But the Lord says, no. I don't want to go through anyone. I want to have this relationship with you. And you know, it's amazing that the God of this universe could have such a personal, private, intimate relationship with so many people at the same time. It's just precious. So this is where we start. Okay? So the point says, no one can represent you or do anything for you in this matter. It must be personal. B says, every believer's relationship with Christ must be personal and affectionate. Personal, of course, means it's just you and the Lord. It's just you and the Lord. Affectionate means that it's full of sweetness, full of love. Okay? Now, for us to have that kind of sweet, personal, loving contact with the Lord ourselves, not through any other person, this morning we want to present two ways. Two things for us to practice. And we're going to practice these two things this morning. The first one is to pray with the Lord's Word. You have to realize that When the Lord gave us his word, this word is a divine romance. This word is a story of love. It's a story of God's seeking after a bride, his loving heart. And so this book is a book of love. If you want to know his heart for you, his love for you, you have to know this book. And one of the ways to develop this kind of personal, affectionate, private, and spiritual relationship with him is to take the words of the Bible to pray over these words. Okay? So instead of reading Romans 2, let's jump down to Romans number 3, and let's read through these points together. Let's read Romans 3 all together. Pray reading the Word of God. How about let's have all the brothers read Jeremiah 15, 16, okay? Let's read with a strong spirit. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word became to me the gladness and joy of my heart. And the sisters read Psalm 119, 103. How sweet. Look at these two verses. Your words were found and I ate them. This is an Old Testament prophet. And your word became to me the gladness. It made him happy. He became glad by praying the Lord's word. And the joy of my heart. Is your heart ever sad? Do you ever get a sad heart? Then by taking the word, to pray the word became the gladness and joy of the Lord's, of this person's heart. Another one, the psalmist said, how sweet are your words to my taste. That meant he was tasting it. This is a spiritual taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. These kinds of expressions should tell us that when we contact the Lord correctly, it becomes very precious and very sweet. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Brothers, let's read this one. But he answered and said,
it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God.
Do you know who said this? This was the Lord Jesus. When he was being tempted by the devil, and the devil asked him to turn the stones into bread, the Lord answered and said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. That told Satan, Satan, I'm pray reading the word of God, and that word is my real food. I don't need a stone to be turned into bread to eat because I've been eating all the time. And the word of God has been my food. Every word that proceeds out of through the mouth of God. Wonderful. Okay, sisters, how about 1 Peter 2, verses 2 to 3? As newborn babes,
long for the guidance of the word, in order that by it you may grow unto salvation, if you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Amen. Have you tasted? Tasted that the Lord is good. Amen. You know, maybe, if somebody asked us, do you know the Lord? We'd say, yes. How do you know him? You would probably would never use the word taste because I've tasted him. We may say I experienced him or I loved him or I felt his love or I felt his presence. But how many of us would say, I've tasted the Lord and it is good? Okay. Then let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 to 18a. This is the brothers. And receive
the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the word of God, by means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in his Spirit.
Here the Bible tells us that the Lord has given us a sword. This is the only offensive equipment that we have. Everything else is defensive. The helmet, the shield, the breastplate, the shoes. Everything is defensive except the sword. And the sword is the sword of the Spirit, which spirit is the word of God. And so when we take the word of God as spirit through prayer, that word becomes a sword in us. This is how we fight. This is how we survive in the battle that is ahead of us, by pray, reading the word. Okay, let's have the sisters read 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture
is
This tells us that all scripture is God-breathed. This book, while it may be black and white, you have to understand that this was breathed out by God. He breathed it out. It needs us to breathe it in. And the way to breathe in the Word of God is to convert that black and white letters to spirit through prayer. All right, let's read these points on the next page, page 10, and then we're going to practice. You know, I told you last night that this is not like a regular conference. And our purpose this weekend is not to inspire you or to stir you up. It's not to get you to try to do something in your schools. But we are burdened for you to learn something and to experience something. So you have to have kind of a learning attitude here, all right? Because we're going to practice and you're going to learn. Okay, A says, according to the entire revelation in the Holy Bible, God's words are good for us to eat. And we need to eat them. Not just good for us to learn, but to eat. The Bible uses this word, eat. B says, when we eat God's words, His word becomes our heart's gladness and joy. Amen. C says, all scripture is God-breathed, hence the words in the scriptures are the words that proceed out through the mouth of God. They came out of God's mouth as breath. They become bread to us. They become breath to us. They become a sword in us. This indicates that we need to receive the Word of God by means of all prayer and petition. We need to pray to receive the Word of God. The right way is to pray with the Word. The Word of God is the breathing out of God. God speaking is God's breathing out. We must strike the spirit of the Scripture with our spirit to catch the divine fire. Okay. Prayer reading is something that we have practiced for many years in the church life. Almost over 40 years now, we have been teaching this and have been practicing this. I would like to share with you my first experience of prayer reading. Okay? When I contacted the church life, I was a high schooler. The first time I was in the 10th grade. And I didn't know anything. I was just like any typical high schooler. And some brothers from Los Angeles drove up to where I was living at the time. It was a little town called Dinuba. And my family was there. We had a little farm. And the brothers taught us how to pray read. And they taught us in a very simple way. You know what they said? They said, just open the Bible. All scripture is God-breathed. Just open the Bible to any page, put your finger on a verse, and pray read that verse. And the way to pray read is you take the words of the Bible and you make it a personal prayer. You take the words of the Bible, just like I did just now, and you come to a verse that says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So they said, now make this into a prayer. So we began to pray like this, teaching them. O Lord Jesus, teach us. Teach us what? Teach us to observe all that you commanded. O Lord, we want you to teach us to observe everything that we've learned, not to forget anything.
And then it goes on, and behold, I am with you. Oh, thank you, Lord, you're with us. And we just took the words of the Bible and we converted it like it was a prayer book to make it our personal prayer. Okay? So that's what we did. And then they would come up and they would call me up on the phone and they'd say, hey, we're coming into town. We're going over to Stanley's house. Why don't you call up all your friends and let's get together because we're going to pray read. So I said, okay, sure. So I called up my friends. We all went over to Stanley's house and we brought Bibles. We sat there like this in a circle and we just, and then the brothers, they taught us. They said, okay, same thing. Just take the words of the Bible and make it your personal prayer. And then amen, you know, everyone amen. And so we did that and we began to practice that. And in fact, it became so enjoyable that it was like we were experiencing something really wonderful. And so I began to practice this quite a bit. And even when I was a senior in high school, I taught all my friends how to pray read so I'd have somebody to pray read with because I was about the only one in the church life in my city. So I taught my friends. We were on a senior class trip, and we were driving, and we stayed overnight in Los Angeles in this hotel, and we were all crammed in these hotel rooms. So I said, okay, get out your Bibles. We're going to pray read. So we were pray reading there, and then we went to bed. And, you know, I was with a group of, they were all like these Mennonite, very formal Christian kids. And in the middle of the night, you know, I'm laying there in my bed, and then I began to hear one of my friends talking in his sleep. And he was saying this, amen, amen. It's like he learned how to pray read, and then in the middle of the night, he was amening still. Praise the Lord, amen. So it was really quite wonderful. You know, we learned also that throughout church history, this has been a practice of nearly everyone that the Lord has used. They all practiced this. In the 1700s, there was a great evangelist named George Whitefield. He was a contemporary of John and Charles Wesley. And he was what they would do in those days, because they didn't have big meeting halls, they didn't have they just had these big cathedrals, and church was very formal. So they began to meet outside, and they would have these big community meetings. Sometimes there would be thousands of people, and they would stand outside on a hill somewhere and preach to them all. So they had to have a really strong voice. I don't know how they could do that, to be heard, you know, outside like that. But they would preach like that. And we found out later that this man who preached so prevailingly like that, he would prepare his messages by praying on his knees with his Bible open. It's like the Bible was there and he was down on his knees and he would read a little bit and then he would pray. He'd read a little bit more and then he would pray. You know, what he did is he invented his own way to pray the Word of God. We heard another one of the church fathers. He had a similar kind of experience. And affected by them, he described it like this. It's like you're walking through an orchard, and there's a cherry tree there, or a berry tree. And as you're walking along, you come under a tree, and the tree, of course, is the Word of God. And you begin through your prayers to shake one of the little twigs or branches. And then fruit begins to fall. And when the fruit falls down, you eat it. And you keep shaking it until there's no more coming down. And as soon as no more food is coming down, you go on to the next twig. Or you could say you could go on to the next verse or the next phrase. And you begin to shake again a little bit. And more food comes down. And you know what? I would just like to tell you this, young people. Everyone who has been used by God for centuries has learned how to pray with the Word of God.
I feel it is such an honor for us as junior hires to learn how to do this, even at the earliest time of your Christian life. You're 10, 11, 12 years old, maybe 13, and you can learn how to pray with God's Word. So this morning, what I would like to do is this. I would like to practice. Can we practice this a little bit? What I'd like to do is ask if there are some volunteers. Some of the junior high brothers would like to volunteer. Would some of you guys like to volunteer to come up here and do this with me? How about the four of you? You come here. Is that all right? That's what happens when you sit on the front, huh? All right, that's great. Okay, this is Juan from last night. Juan from last night. What's your name?
Kevin.
Good morning, Kevin. Is this okay? You need a Bible, you know. How about you guys get your folders anyway, because we're going to need you to pray read a verse with us. Now, don't be nervous, okay? And your name?
Isaac.
Yeah. Isaac Lee. Huh? Uh-huh. And Kevin, Juan, and
Jasper.
All right. Let's turn in our book to page, let's see what page we are. Let's turn to page 11, and you see four from the bottom, Jeremiah 15, 16. You see that? Now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to just take these words, and we're going to pray it like a personal prayer. Okay? So we're not going to, don't practice anything that you think is prayer reading. So this morning I want you to forget everything you've ever heard about prayer reading. Don't pray read like that. You know what I mean? Maybe the way we are accustomed to prayer reading is like this. In the beginning, amen. In the beginning, amen. In the, amen. The beginning, amen. I mean, it's very dull. It's not personal at all. And it doesn't really help us. Was the Word, amen. The Word, amen. The Word. Nobody moves on. And the Word was, and the Word was, amen. And so it's very, you know, very dull like that. So can you... What do you think? Let's just begin to practice. And maybe by practicing, we could learn. Okay? So we're going to take Jeremiah 15, 16, and we're going to just face each other. Forget, we're all alone, just the five of us, okay? Nobody's watching, believe me. Okay, so let's read it together, all right? Your words were found, and I ate them.
And your word became to me the gladness and joy of your heart.
Amen. So let's just begin, okay? Amen. Your words were found.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, thank you. We found your word.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your word.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Amen. Wonderful.
Lord, thank you for your word.
Amen.
We found your word.
Amen.
We found our word.
Amen.
Lord, thank you that we could find your word.
Amen. Okay, move on.
Lord, I want to eat your word.
Amen.
Lord, I want to eat your word.
Amen. And I ate them.
Amen.
Lord, I found your word and I ate them.
Amen.
Amen. I found your words and I ate them.
Amen. Lord, we're hungry.
Amen.
We want to eat more.
Amen.
Let's keep going. And your words,
Oh, Lord, thank you for your word.
Amen.
It became.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for your word.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, thank you for your word.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, I want to enjoy your word.
Amen. Your word became to me.
Amen.
Lord, thank you. Your word is so personal to me.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, thank you. Your word makes me glad.
Amen. Amen.
The word became to me.
Amen.
The gladness.
Amen.
That's right.
Lord, your word is the gladness and joy of my heart.
Amen.
You're the joy of my heart.
Amen.
Your word is the gladness and joy of my heart.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Thank you, brothers. I know it's hard not to be real self-conscious. Okay, you can sit down. Amen. Okay, how about some sisters? Would there be some sisters willing? But we need like three or four of you together. Somebody even sitting where you are? Okay, how about two of you stand up? Is there some others that are close by that would stand with them? Okay, you want to go stand back there with them? Okay, let's take the next verse, Psalm 119:103. You see that one? You know, this takes practice. This is why the brothers came up and they would teach us how to do this. And you've got to do it a few times before you begin to flow. Come around this way. So your name is Hannah?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what's your names? I'm sorry, what? Sarah, okay. Janelle? Hi, Janelle. And so we're going to read Psalm 119:103, huh? Okay, pray a little bit louder so everyone can kind of hear. But go ahead, let's read it together, just the three of you, and then start. Your, how sweet.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. You know, hold it right there. You know, when you're prayer reading, you can do that. It doesn't have to make sense to anybody because you're fellowshipping with the Lord. Your words are so honey. So honey, honey. Go ahead. Sorry, I messed it up. Go ahead. Is there more?
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Okay, very good. Thank you. How about some more volunteers? Some brothers. Brothers this time. You guys back there? Okay, wonderful. Stand up. Oh, these are brothers from L.A. Okay, how about just the junior hires, huh? We got to have another one, at least three. Oh, yeah, wonderful, wonderful. What verse should we give them? Huh? Okay. How about you guys take the bottom verse, 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3. Okay? How about read it all together, read it loud, and then just pray. All right? Ready to go. Put your book down. Don't hide behind it. Go ahead. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, you taste so good.
Amen.
Thank you, brothers. Wonderful. Okay, how about a few more sisters? Maybe two or three more? Maybe two. How about two or three sisters? Come on. Any of you? Okay, don't talk. Let's don't talk. Do we have some? Okay, one here. How about the one sitting next to her? Oh, there's one there. Okay, how about you guys stand in the aisle? Come, both of you come to the aisle. And do you know each other? You don't. Wonderful. See, it shows you don't even need to know each other. Very good. How about you go back there? Yeah, go back there where she is. And not too far back. How about go up to Acts chapter 2, verse 21. This one's on calling on the Lord. Okay, read it, and then let's pray read it. You guys pray read it. And
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. See, it's very good. Thank you. Very good. Now, let's do this. See, when you pray read in a big group like this, you pray read one way. But if you pray read in a small group, two or three, you pray read a little different way. But when you pray read by yourself, you have to invent your own way. Okay? You may take a little from the big group, a little from the small group, but you've got to learn how to just pray yourself. It's your prayer. It's your prayer reading. So let's take Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Let's read it all together, and then quietly, where we're sitting, every one of us, pray read that verse by ourselves. Okay, everyone should do this. Let's read Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And now you yourself pray read this verse, okay? But he answered
and said,
okay, go ahead. Amen. Amen. Okay. Okay, did you pray read it? Okay, let's stop. Face the front, okay? And let's go on to the next point, which is really point number two. And after we have a little fellowship about point number two, we're going to send you out to practice outside. Okay? This one, this practice, is on calling on the name of the Lord. Again, calling on the name of the Lord is something that many of us have done since we were babies. We learned how to call on the name of the Lord, listening to our parents or in the home meetings that were going on in our house. And so calling on the Lord may be something very, maybe formal to us, something that's very, not that new or special. But I would like to really impress you that calling on the name of the Lord is something very, very precious. And it is the way for us to contact the Lord ourselves, quietly, loudly, anywhere, anytime, under any circumstances, when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're up, when you're down. Calling on the name of the Lord is the way. Now, you know, when Saul of Tarsus was persecuting the church, he was looking for those people that called on the name of the Lord. He was arresting them. And it meant that they were calling on the Lord out loud and that people could hear them. So it's not just quietly. Sometimes we need to call on the Lord under our breath, quietly to ourselves, sometimes very loudly. Sometimes we need to roll up the windows in our car and call on the Lord as loud as we can. Sometimes we need to roll down the windows of our car and call as loud as we can.
When I began to, when I came to the church and I began to learn about calling on the name of the Lord, I just loved to call on the Lord. And I also taught my friends how to call on the Lord, and we would call on the Lord together. And sometimes we would shout quite loudly at school. We were pretty radical in those days. Not during school, not in class, but sometimes after school, while we were waiting for our ride home, we would call on the Lord. Anyway, let's read through these verses, and then we'll practice something. Amen. Calling on the name of the Lord. Okay? Acts 2:21. Let's have all the brothers read this one. And it shall be. Everyone,
amen.
Everyone who calls,
amen,
shall be saved.
Amen.
Look at Romans 10, 12 to 13. Sisters, let's read it. For there is
no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, and is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. No distinction between the Jew and the Greek.
Amen.
There's no difference between any kind of person, because the same Lord is rich to all who call upon Him. You call on Him and you'll be saved. Then let's have the brothers read Isaiah 12, verses 3 and 4. Brothers, read. Therefore, give thanks to Jehovah, call upon His name. Sister, Psalm 116, 12 to 13. Watch. Amen. Calling on the Lord is often referred to as drinking. Did you notice Isaiah, he said, you'll draw waters with rejoicing, calling upon His name. And then in Psalm, it says, taking the cup of salvation and calling on the name of the Lord. Then Lamentation, verses 55 and 56. Let's read these two together, all together, okay? I called upon
Your name, O Jehovah.
You have heard my voice. I called on Your name from the lowest pit. Even when we're down, what is the way? The way is to call on the Lord's name. The Lord's name is so dear, so precious. We should also learn how to call on the Lord ourselves. So concerned that every one of you would learn how to touch Him, enjoy Him yourself, by calling on His name. Why don't we do this? Right where we're sitting, just quietly, loud enough for us to hear ourselves, but not much louder than that, let's call on the name of the Lord. O Lord Jesus. Or maybe you'll call, O Lord Jesus, I love You. Whatever you like, just Lord Jesus. All right, let's do this for 1 minute. Okay, ready, call. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
Okay. We're not used to this, are we? Even to call on the name of the Lord for maybe 1 minute seems quite hard, quite long. But we could call on His name. This is the way for us to develop a personal, affectionate, private, and spiritual relationship with the Lord. If you go to page 11 in your book, we have, is that right? It should be, page 13, I'm sorry, not 11. We have what we call a practice session. For the next 30 minutes, we're going to practice something. Okay? We're going to try to do something so you can practice this by yourself. First thing we're going to do, look at Romans 2 on page 13, practicing to call on the name of the Lord 30 minutes. The first point, listen carefully, is to go to a quiet place all alone and quietly call on the name of the Lord for 5 minutes. That means you have to go to a quiet place all alone, maybe nothing more than just turning your chair to face the wall. It may mean going outside and sitting at one of these tables and putting your head down. We don't want any two of you together, all alone. Right now, you have to realize most of our time, we're alone. And we would like to learn how to enjoy Him alone, quietly. You may go outside and sit on the road or on the log. But when you do this, you have to block everybody out. Block everything out. Don't go with your friends. You need to face the front. What's your name? Yes. Yeah, turn around, face the front. Don't talk to them back there because you're distracting them. And we're trying to have a practice here. Okay? Now, what we need to do is this. We're going to go outside or stay in here for 5 minutes. And right where we are, we're going to block everybody else out. Don't go out two by two, and don't sit with your friends. You be alone. And the serving ones have a horn, a blower, that they're going to blow so that you know when the 5 minutes is up, okay? So we'll start it, and then you stay there. And what we'd like you to practice is just to call on the Lord. Every way you can think, any way you would like to be alone with the Lord. Okay? That's the first thing. Then after the brothers blow the horn, what we'd like you to do, and the serving ones should know this, the serving ones, everyone is in clusters of three or four. Okay? Now these three or four need you to be together and go outside. Go out somewhere where there's nobody. There's a lot of trees and forest here. You can go behind the house or you can go up the road, go over here. And then when you get outside, the four of you, three of you, I'd like you to call on the name of the Lord as loud as you can. Just as loud as you can. Over and over and over again. Okay? We'll do this for about 5 minutes. It'll take you a minute or two to go find somewhere. And again, you don't care who hears you. We're practicing for the bears, okay? Well, forget about the bears. What we're going to do is we're just going to go out there and we're going to release our spirit. Okay? And we'll do that for about 5 minutes. Then the brothers will blow the horn. Okay? And then the third thing. What? Yeah, don't go too far away. You got to stay close by in this general area. Then the third thing, after you've called on the Lord as loud as you can for about 5 minutes, then when the brothers blow the horn, the last thing we're going to do is we're going to take a little walk. And what you do is you come together on the road here, not together, you just come back and you walk. Now, there's a lot of us, so we have to spread out. What we'd like to do is walk around the driveway. You know how it goes down and then back up again? Just take one walk around the driveway slowly. Again, you're by yourself, not with your friends. You're not talking. You're not joking. You're not clumping all together, but you're walking and you're calling on the Lord, telling the Lord, Lord Jesus, I love you, over and over again. Okay, these are three steps. The first is to be alone, quietly. The second is to be together, as loud. And then third, just walking slowly, not in a hurry, not running, but walking and calling. Lord Jesus, I love you. Over and over, okay? Now, this is going to be our practice. Do you have the horn? Could you go blow it back there just so they hear and understand what we're talking about?